For The Homecoming. In 1998, ethnic tensions between Kosovo and Serbia climaxed into a bloody conflict, culminating in a NATO bombing campaign against Slobodan Milosevic's Serb forces. The war tore many families apart as they fled Kosovo and sought refuge in countries across Europe. After being seriously injured by Serb soldiers, Femi Islami escaped, and after a week spent in the back of a lorry, he arrived on the southeast coast of England, where he spent the next 10 years. Now, 3 months after Kosovo has declared independence from Serbia, Femi Islami has decided it's time to go home. Nick Thorpe, who's been corresponding from the Balkans for 18 years, meets Femi in The Homecoming.
I decide to go in my country, to make life in my country, near to my close family, and to be married. I like England, but I like more my country. I want to be in my country. I want to be near to my mom.
Femi Islami last saw his family and his homeland 10 years ago, when Kosovo was in the middle of a bloody conflict with Serbia. After a decade of living in England, separated from his loved ones, struggling emotionally and physically with the aftermath of war, Femi has come to the end of a long journey and is finally returning home.
I'm born in 1975, 1511. My life in my country, it was a little bit difficult to live because the situation was bad all the time from the Serbs regime. At 22 years, I was in Kosovo. I can't find never in my life I am happy one day. Serbs forces, they making torture, not just to me, but to all the Kosovo people.
In the summer of 1998, Slobodan Milosevic, in response to the Kosovo Liberation Army's campaign for independence from Serbia, launched a brutal offensive against Kosovo's ethnic Albanian majority. Femi had been a soldier with the KLA for over a year and a half, until the day he was beaten so badly by Serb forces that he was forced to leave Kosovo and flee to England.
I'm going from my village with my youngest sister to Mitrovica. The Serb police, they stopped me and made me a lot of questions, you know, why you KLA, why this, why that, you know, and he punched me and he hit me with the Kalashnikov here in my knee, you know, and he break my leg. And after that, you know, with Kalashnikov, he put through to my belly button, you know. For 10 minutes, 4 police, they beat me. I was just bleeding. I didn't know after 10 minutes, you know, where I am. And after half an hour, you know, somebody, he get me and he give me the first aid.
With a broken leg and bleeding internally and in need of urgent medical attention, Femi's uncle arranged for him to be smuggled on a lorry from Mitrovica to England. Disoriented from the pain, slipping in and out of consciousness, he doesn't remember much of his week-long journey. Only that, by the time he arrived in England, he was in such a bad way that the lorry driver took him to the local police station in Kent, where he claimed asylum. Femi's brother, Nebi, who'd already been living in England for 2 years, remembers a phone call from the police asking him to go and pick Femi up.
I was so lucky because I was living in London at that time and I only just passed my driving license. So we got there, I pulled over and I went to these guys. And these guys happened to be Femi and one of his colleagues. I could not believe my luck. I pulled over to ask them a question and all of a sudden I see my brother. So I just sort of stopped my car, stopped the engine, rushed out and basically just gave him a big hug.
Femi lived with his brother for a year, slowly coming to terms with what he'd left behind and beginning the healing process, both physically and emotionally. For the first few months in the UK, he would stay up all night, glued to the television, fixated with any news coming from the ravaged country he was forced to flee.
It was sort of happy and sad situation, really. One way, very happy to see him. On the other hand, very hard when he was telling me how he saw our relatives getting killed or getting burnt or getting, you know, what can we do, you know? In a war, people do die and, you know, you lose your loved ones and life goes on.
After 9 months in the UK, he received his permit to work and moved to Eastbourne, where, after 3 months, he found his first job.
Somewhere is the years. Yeah, in 2000, I start for nearly 9-10 months, my first job. I like to respect my job. I working with my paperwork, you know. And I pay everything. I pay tax, I pay flat, I pay council tax, I pay all the bills for 9 years and a half. Just, I never forget, I stay 3 months in this country in social. And after that, I start working, and that's it.
Unlike his brother, Nebi, who has a family here in the UK and is now a British citizen, Femi only has asylum status and therefore no passport. Whilst Femi struggled to adapt to his new life as a single man working a 6-day week and living with complete strangers, Nebi has been able to return home many times. Nebi knows that it has always played on Femi's mind that life in Kosovo has carried on without him.
Every time I flew to Kosovo, I felt really bad. Happy in one way because I'm going, but sad that, you know, Femi's here all by himself, you know. And obviously when I go there, my mom is in tears loads of the times because, you know, she's happy to see me and happy that everyone else is there. But on the other hand, she feels so sad that Femi, because he's the oldest as well, from, you know, from the brothers, and he was after 4 girls, that's quite a big thing in my country. So, yeah, he missed loads of things back home. And the biggest one of all, he missed Kosovo independence.
Kosovo has declared its independence, with its parliament in Pristina voting to break away from Serbian rule to create Europe's newest state. The announcement signals a new chapter in the history of Kosovo, where in 1999 NATO helped drive out Serbian forces accused of persecuting the majority ethnic Albanian population. MPs applauded and hugged one another.
Now, after fleeing his homeland and making a new life hundreds of miles away, for Femi, it's time to go home.
I didn't see my parents for 9 years and a half. My mom and my dad, he's a little bit older. Maybe one day he's gonna die, you know, and I'm gonna miss if I didn't see just one time in my life. I decide to go in my country, to make life in my country near to my close family and to be married. That is my hope, to create family and not to stay like this.
On February the 17th of this year, 10 years after the war started, Kosovo declared independence. It was the moment Femi had been waiting for, to be a free man in his homeland. He knows that back home, in what is a brand new country, with unemployment and poverty levels high, and relations with Serbia fragile, life will be anything but easy.
I am now in Debenhams, and I buy some shoes for myself, some jeans.
As well as buying some clothes and presents for back home, Femi also has his eye on a wedding ring for himself. He's going home to rekindle the love he left when he escaped Kosovo 10 years ago.
That one is gold or not?
You got the...
It's white gold.
White gold?
Yes. We've only got the one in the store. It takes around 8 days.
You'll be in Kosovo by then.
Oh,
okay, so there are the other documents. Flight should be boarding at about 10 to 11, if you could be there on time, please. It's 810.
My name is Yulca Kustova, and I'm working for International Organization for Migration. I'm meeting the passengers who are traveling back home voluntary. So I'm taking through the procedures, which is first check-in. Then we will sit down, and they have to sign the papers, the, like declaration of voluntary return.
When Fahmy decided to leave the UK, he went to the International Organization of Migration, the world's leading migration agency. In the year after the Kosovo War, the IOM helped 200,000 displaced Kosovars to go home. And there's been a steady flow, returning ever since.
I'm just sorting out the documents. So that's your travel document. It's called one-way travel document. This is the disclaimer of voluntary return. By signing this, it means that you're closing your application for asylum in United Kingdom and that you're leaving the United Kingdom voluntary under supervision of IOM. You need to sign here. Have a nice flight. All the best and take care. I wish you well.
Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
This is Fahmy's first time on a plane. When he left Kosovo to come to England, it was cross-country in the back of a lorry. It took him a week. This time around, it's only taken him 5 hours.
I am feeling very, 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 very happy, but my dad, he make me a little bit upset because he's crying. And emotion. I have 10 years.
Fahmy grew up with his parents and his 7 brothers and sisters in a remote village in the Drenica Valley, the heartland of KLA resistance, and one of the first areas to suffer from Milosevic's heavy-handed retribution. Over the years, their family home was bombed many times by Serb forces, and when it fell into a state of disrepair, Fahmy's brothers built a new house near the capital. It's here, 4 miles from Pristina, that Fahmy will live until he decides what his next step will be.
You see, he's my youngest brother. And Soviet kid. He's 24 years old. And I miss him so much. And now I'm so happy.
Nebi explains what Husni, Femi's youngest brother, has in store for the evening.
He said, I'm going to get him drunk. When he used to get drunk, he used to cry. He said, I'm going to get him drunk, make him cry, and let him tell me all the truth for the last 10 years, what he's been up to.
As the evening draws to a close, Fahmy reflects on his first day home.
My dad, you see him, he's crying because I didn't see him and he didn't see me for 10 years. And my mom, he got the emotion. I have the emotion as well, you know. It was war, you know, about 10 years ago. And that time, I thought all my family is going to be dying that time. I'm so happy for everything, you know, because I'm waiting for ages, not just me, but everyone who waits independent of Kosovo, you know. And for that, you know, I came in Kosovo. I decide, you know, to come here and never to go out of Kosovo anymore.
It's morning, and after a traditional breakfast, Fahmy is ready to go back to the place where he grew up and the place where many members of his family were massacred. The extended Islami family are traditional farming folk, and everyone who lives in Fahmy's old village, Dashev, is a blood relative. In stark contrast to Fushkosova, where Fahmy's family now live, Dashev is nestled among acres of green farmland, high up in the hills, with a view across the valley of Chechevica, the highest point in Kosovo and the base for NATO troops. A quiet place, Dashev is a far cry from the city of Pristina, just over the hills to the east. Children with milk pails walk past, accompanied by cows, and the inhabitants draw fresh mountain water from wells. It's hard to imagine such an idyll caught up in the throes of war.
You've got the graves just over there, and they killed loads of my cousins just down those forests over there. And then they took about 150 to Chires, which is about 3 miles away, and they massacred, I think, I'm not very sure, but there was between 100 and 300 people. It was a terrible, terrible time.
It's a warm spring afternoon in Kosovo. I'm driving along the road into Fushë, Kosovo, a sprawling town between the capital, Pristina, and the airport. And here we are at the house. Several members of Femi's family outside to greet us.
Mirdita. Hi.
Nick. I'm Nick.
Mirdita. How do you do?
Mirdita.
Mirdita.
A beautiful day.
Yeah, it's nice.
A lovely
day. Nice weekend. We're going inside? We can go inside to the house and we can drink. How are you feeling in Kosovo?
I like it here.
Yeah?
Yeah, I've been coming here for 18 years. I was first here in 1990.
1990, you've been here?
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
So long ago, under Milosevic.
Yeah, before Milosevic.
When Femi set out to Mitrovica on a cold December's day in 1998, he could not have predicted that would be the last time he would see his family for 10 years. Most Kosovars returned home between 1999 and 2000, but Femi has his own reasons for waiting to come back.
I am waiting, and I say to myself, maybe for after 5 or 6 or 7 years, Kosovo gonna be much more better economically. I promised my mom when I left Kosovo in 1998, I say to her, I'm gonna come back in Kosovo and I'm gonna live with you because I like my tradition and my parents to be close to my house, to live with my parents.
Now he's back at home, he wants to take his place as head of the family, a role which is important to him as the eldest son, and a role which means he must look after his parents, as well as himself and his fiancée.
I have my own house in village, but I'm thinking if I live in village, you know, it's too far from the job, the roads is crap, too far from the town, to find job, you can spend a lot of money, you know, to go to the job in a town, maybe you can get per month 300 euros. Maybe you can spend from my village to the town 100 euro per month.
When Femi does start looking for work, the magnet for life in this economically depressed country is Pristina, the country's capital. Pristina is a modern, concrete metropolis that has the feel of a city built in a post-war rush to lure tourists that never came. Two things are everywhere you look. Four-wheel drives, a clear indicator of the international aid presence in the city, and the constant hum of the generators that power the city. Both serve as a reminder of the fragility of a new state, temporary fixes that power the country until Kosovo is ready to run itself again permanently.
So what do you think?
I'm thinking I see something I never see in my life. Yeah, it's look excellent. It's look beautiful.
So we're looking at some graffiti here on the side of the municipal assembly. Kosovo. Shtet Vindak.
Iri.
Iri, and underneath in English, a brand new
country.
Femi, when I was first here in 1990, so 18 years ago, this is the Hotel Illyria. There were no other guests, and I moved into one room, and plainclothes Serbian police moved into the next room to listen to my conversations, and they followed me everywhere I went in Pristina. It was very strange. It's still strange for me to walk through this town and not get followed.
Everywhere, nice freedom, not just for you, for everyone.
And the person that Femi and most of his countrymen believe gave them this freedom was Adam Yashari, whose image is everywhere in Kosovo. Reminiscent of a middle-aged Che Guevara, Yashari was the leader of the KLA and is credited with Kosovo's liberation from Serbia. The massacre of Adam and around 30 members of his family, not far from where Femi grew up, has left an indelible mark on Kosovar Albanians. Three rows of tombstones have become a national memorial.
Here's the grave of legendary of Kosovo, hero of Kosovo, you know, Adam Yashari. He born in 1955 and he died in 1998. The first one is Shaban Yashari, the Adam's father.
Femi, who met Adam Yashari whilst training, vowed that when he came home, the grave would be one of the first places he visited. to pay his respects and to help lay the past to rest.
Farid Yashari, Adil Yashari, Selvet Yashari, Hidayat Yashari, Afet Yashari, Violeta.
I feel so not good. I feel very upset. I can't believe it. All done for one day.
Leaving the past with the custodians of mausoleums, it's time for Femi to look forward. We went to the United Nations mission in Kosovo to find out just what sort of future he can expect.
My name is Elinor Berektari, and I'm an economic policy advisor for the United Nations mission in Kosovo.
It's hard to come by statistics in Kosovo, as no one is entirely sure how large the population is. Figures range from 1.5 to 2 million, but there hasn't been an official census since 1981.
Very roughly, what do you think the unemployment figure is here today?
There are different estimates of unemployment in Kosovo, which vary from 25 to 45, 50%.
Where there are jobs, those with a university degree are far more likely to get them. Like many people of his age, Femi's education was interrupted when the Serb regime closed down his high school. He's a very intelligent man, but he lacks the qualifications that many of his younger competitors have.
There is a statistic for the average wage, which I think is somewhere between 200 and 250 euros per month. Well, it's a difficult life for people who earn that amount of money. Many people rely on families and extended families, people who are abroad and bringing in money. So, again, the picture is very mixed, but it is also certain that a lot of progress is needed in order to pull out a significant proportion of the population out of poverty.
A World Bank report on poverty in Kosovo, still in its draft stages, suggests that 45% of the population lives in poverty. Without the safety net of people like Femi and his brothers and sisters sending money home from abroad, the situation would be much worse. One in five Kosovars report having at least one household member who's a migrant abroad. I asked Elinor whether, in spite of this, he would encourage other Kosovars still living abroad to return home.
People like Femi, whenever they think they should come home, they should come home. I mean, their home is here. With the goodwill and with a little bit of sacrifice in the beginning, it's always possible to make home a good place to live.
Goodwill is not something Femi is short of. He's optimistic, hard-working, and determined to make a go of it for the sake of his family. But no one can be sure if goodwill will be enough to rebuild his life. Yeah. I'm sitting with Femi drinking coffee in a Pristina street. Femi, you've been back 3 weeks now. How's it going?
I'm feeling very well. I was busy for 3 weeks because I have a lot of guests, you know, from everywhere. I have 3 weeks. I sleep just 3 hours, 4 hours. Last week I've been married, Sunday, and now I try to open my eyes and to look something for my future.
I can imagine you're having a good time. What's been the hardest thing, though, about being back?
Yeah, it was hard for me, you know, because I didn't see all my family, my relatives, my cousins, you know. I didn't see for 10 years. Now when I came back, a lot of cousins, I didn't know who is him and who is them, you know. It's very difficult for me. But now every day, every week is going much more easy for me, you know, because I meet everyone, you know, and I make conversation with everyone. You know, and now I feel much more happy, you know, and I like to be in Kosovo forever.
You never want to leave here again?
100% I am sure I never gonna leave Kosovo. I born in Kosovo and I gonna die in Kosovo.
Femi has had a few weeks to reacquaint himself with his home. He's packed a lot into a short time, organizing a wedding and marrying his childhood sweetheart. Now it's time for him to think seriously about how he's going to support his family. It's not just Femi's financial security that remains uncertain, but the security of his country and of all his people. As we drive to the place where Femi will hopefully soon be working, what is certain is that change is evident everywhere we look.
There's a new flag for Kosovo now. With independence, there's a new flag. I just saw one there. Do you like it?
I like it so much. I am for peace. I was for peace, and I am for peace.
And do you think it will be possible?
100%. You will see. Not just you, but all Europe and world. If Kosovo economically is not gonna go good, of course, maybe situation is gonna go bad. 100%. You know, because the youngest people, you know, if it's not working, he don't have money, he's going outside, he makes trouble and this and that, you know. But if you're working, for example, in England, all of it, you know, is working, you know. And if you're working, you don't have time, you know, to make trouble.
Femi, for one, has no intention of making trouble. He has a plan to become a barber, something he's always dreamed of. And he has already found the salon where he would like to learn his trade.
So, Femi, what do you think? Do you like the place?
Yeah, I like the place. Yeah, the place is beautiful, you know, and I hope in future, you know, I'm gonna learn something. I try.
Femi's future and the future of Kosovo remains in the hands of its young population and a new government who is slowly taking over responsibilities from the United Nations. It's a country that is rising from the ashes, and like Femi, Kosovo is fiercely determined to succeed.
Femi, welcome home.
Thank you very much.
Femi, 10 years ago, when you left this country, did you ever think you would be back here, sitting in a restaurant with your family and friends?
Yeah, I'm dreaming all the time, 10 years, every year.
And what was the dream exactly? Is this it, or was it slightly different?
But my dream, it was to see my country independent first, and to be in Kosovo independent and close to my family. That it was my dream, and the dream is come truth.
Gezuar,
Gezuar.
Very best of luck, Femi, in Kosovo.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Long life and happiness.
Thanks very much.
The Homecoming was presented by Nick Thorpe and produced by Gemma Newby. It was an all-out production for BBC Radio 4. Next this morning, Juliet Stevenson, John Humphreys, Steve Wright and John Colshaw will guide us through some regrettable events that could very well have happened. Comedy is told to Craig Brown here on BBC Radio 4 next. And then at midday, you and yours, and with the details, here's Liz Barclay.
Parliament has passed regulations that will allow councils to introduce alcohol disorder zones. The idea is that pubs, clubs and restaurants in designated areas will be made to pay if extra policing and clearing up is needed as a result of drink-fuelled disorder. We'll be discussing how effective these zones are likely to be. We'll also be celebrating the 70th anniversary of the first ever television game show and looking at the keys to a successful format. And what does disability mean to Rabbi Lionel Blue? We hear about the impact epilepsy has had on his life. Join us today, just after 12.
And before you and yours here on BBC Radio 4, Juliet Stevenson, Steve Wright and special guests guide us through a series of regrettable recent events as told to Craig Brown.